Jesus said, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Every good endeavor is a gift from God. Here on Faith Marketplace Radio, you'll be inspired, equipped, and encouraged in your work as you hear business leaders share how their faith impacts their work. Joining us every Saturday at noon on AM 1160 Hope for Your Life. For Faith Marketplace Radio, here's Marketplace veteran and your host, Bob Lambert.
Hey, we're back here, another glorious Saturday in the heart of the world, Chicago, Illinois, beaming out over the internet. AM 1160 everywhere. So get out there, download the app. You can hear us anywhere. If you're out in the soccer field, you're on the beach, wherever you're at, you can listen to us here. Hey, listen, I want to take and thank our sponsors, our wonderful sponsors we've had for a number of years. First of all, Connect Vets, connecting veterans coming back in country or those who are retiring to the private sector. Emily Garrity, a godly woman that's been our sponsor since we began the show, is out there helping these veterans to connect with jobs in the marketplace, putting them through an entire program where they can take their military MOS and translate that into real English and so people will know it. Also, to companies that really are veteran-friendly and connecting them for those folks that want to have jobs. So if you've got a family member, a neighbor, a relative, anybody that is a veteran that needs to get back in the market or wants to get in the marketplace, go out and check out connectvets.org. And I have a bean coffee, the best coffee on the planet, roasted from the 1% of the beans in the world. And now they have added tea, and their tea is as fabulous as it is of their coffee because it is also found in just a few remote areas of China and India that they take their teas from. So you got to go out there and check them out. I have a bean.com, but the best part of all of that is their social mission. 80% of their employees are post-prison. So if you know anything about that, if they, you know, somebody that has been incarcerated has to check the box that they've been a former felon, that pretty much knocks them out of getting a job. But Pete Leonard, a godly guy out there, is putting these folks to work. And boy, is he putting to work in a mighty way out there. He's had almost 90 employees go through his firm over the years that he's been out there doing this. So go out and check out IHaveABean.com. They roast it and ship it the same day. It doesn't get any fresher than that, folks. And then last but not least is a newest sponsor for us is Matrix Design. They are in the industrial automation business. So any of you out there connected with manufacturing anything, this is fabulous right here in Chicago. Matrix Design, a godly company out there, fabulous family that owns this. So go out and check them out also. MatrixDesign.com. Well, I am so excited because my co-host Jennifer Villarreal is going to be conducting our interview with our celebrity today. Mm-hmm. So we have a celebrity in studio. So Jennifer,
we sure do.
Why don't you tell them who we're talking about?
Yeah, so our first guest drove in all the way from Indianapolis. He's the founder of God's Business Revolution, which serves business leaders and entrepreneurs plus the church. He's going to share today on how he helps repair the breach between business and the church and what you can do to create a new dimension of power in the marketplace. Oh, and guess what the title of his new book is? You guessed it, God's Business Revolution. He has a gift for you regarding this, so make sure you stay tuned. Now, Tim Porter has been in the business for over 30 years, and he actively disciples those needing guidance, especially around business and finance. And he has a strong passion to see God's purpose manifest throughout our communities and culture. Welcome, Tim Porter.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Tim, there's so much about you and your background that I couldn't just cover there in that first segment. Do you want to expand on anything for our listeners?
I'll tell you a brief story. Several years ago, God seemed to tell me that I needed to go back and get my MBA so I could prove that I know what I really know. Just kind of the piece of paper to be there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I did. I went back and got my MBA a few years ago. But the second thing God seemed to tell me to do was this. He said, you need to be ordained. I'm like, okay, all right. God, I can handle the MBA part. That's really easy. There's a ton of really good online schools. But you want me to just go get one of those little online certificate things and get ordained or, you know. And somebody came to me and they actually said, hey, we have a ordained position called a marketplace minister. I'm like, I'm on board. Let's go. That's exactly what I am. Is exactly what I do. So I am an ordained marketplace minister.
All right. Well, thanks for that. I think, why don't you tell me a little bit more about how you serve in the marketplace then? How does all of that, those credentials, how does that come forward now as you're serving?
That's a great question. You know, what happens in the marketplace, especially with business owners, is that we spend a lot of our time disconnected from the church when we're in business. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And I've often wondered, why are we still so connected with all the social media and all the technology that we have? Why are we still so disconnected from the church during the week on Monday through Friday? Obviously, church is Sunday, maybe Wednesday nights, maybe Saturday nights, depending on what you do. But what happens is that we forget. Mm-hmm. We forget the most powerful thing in our life from Monday through Friday. Why is that? That's what God's business revolution is all about. It's about restoring that power. And it's about finding that power again in the marketplace, because God wants to do a crazy, crazy work in the marketplace.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that. Like, what are some of the challenges that you see in the church and then with the marketplace and maybe that breach? Can you expand on that a little more?
I sure can. One of the verses I love to embrace is in Isaiah 58, verse 12, where it talks about restoring the breach or repairing the breach. It also talks about restoring the streets that we dwell in. That whole verse is economic in nature if you go back and you read that chapter. There is this disconnect between church and business. And it seems that pastors are really good at pastoring, but they're not so good at business. My brother-in-law is a pastor. I've got several good friends that are pastors, okay?
So you know this firsthand.
You know this firsthand. By the way, I used to kind of be a preacher too. But on the flip side, business guys have got no idea what the preacher's thinking. Mm-hmm. And so there's this huge, and guess who the strongest leaders are in the church? It's the business people. So there's such a huge disconnect between
the
two.
Tell me more about that. Why are the business leaders the strongest ones?
The business leaders are there. They are already natural leaders in the marketplace. Now, I say business leaders. I'm talking business leaders, entrepreneurs, business owners. Now, let me throw something out there really quick. One of the biggest things you've got to remember is that if you are a Christian and you are at work, it's very likely that you are the highest spiritual authority in the marketplace or on that job, because you are the Christian there. Mm. And now you have a responsibility as a leader to at least pray, if not anything else.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more about some of those responsibilities. You know, I think some of our listeners are hearing this and they say, well, you know, I pray when I get home or I do these things on Sunday. Tell me more.
The biggest thing that we forget to do is include God in our daily business. God wants to show up and show out on the job, at your business, every day, everywhere. Let's face it, God is not a Sunday from about 9:35, if you start on time, you know, to whatever. God is a 24/7 God, and He is always on. It is okay to ask God for help with something at work. Mm-hmm. And how often do we forget to do that? Do we forget that we're in this crisis at work and, oh no, and God's there and He wants us to call out and He wants us to do that and reach out to Him. There's this, we have to tap into the power of God in the marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree on that. All right. So, you know, as far as, how some of your clients maybe are doing this or some of the pastors that you work with, can you give me some just little wins, success stories on how this has transformed them, how this has changed for them?
Well, I tell you what, here's a success story sitting across the table from me right now, okay?
And you're because I'm pointing
to Bob Lambert, because let me tell you something. The way I met Bob Lambert was that Bob and I got involved with a business ministry at a church together. And Bob is on fire for God. He's one of the strongest Christians that I know. He's got a great heart. And one of the things that he did later was to start this program. Now, I'm not saying that what he and I did, okay, necessarily spawned this program, but what I will say is this, is that I know that there were seeds planted in Bob's mind since then, and this is a perfect success story right here.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob, anything you want to say on that?
I'm stunned. I won't take credit for it. It was God. Yeah, that was God.
No, yeah.
You know that, Tim. It was God.
I know.
And this was the last thing on the planet I expected to do.
Yeah.
But God laid it on me because I had really a crisis of calling. I didn't know where God wanted me. I was struggling with it like crazy.
Well, and that is God's business revolution. That's right. The definition, because what we are experiencing is this, is we have a plethora of business professionals who are in crisis mode right now. And they're not in crisis mode because their business is falling apart. They might be in crisis mode because their family's falling apart, but guess what? That's not even the crisis. The crisis is a crisis of faith. And there is a measure of faith that needs to be dealt to the marketplace.
Yes, I love that. All right. So, you know, let's say if our listeners are finding that they're in this little bit of a crisis, what are some tips right now that you would give them just to help them move forward to that next step before they maybe reach out to you or seek counsel somewhere?
The first thing you've got to do is you just fall on your knees and just ask God to jump in and intervene. Never be afraid to ask God to intervene anywhere. I had a friend that used to pray for parking spaces, and they actually would get one. Pray. Ask God to show up and show out and to do your thing. The second thing is just to dig in His Word. And to dig in His Word, and just there are so many things in God's Word that are business related. There is a word that Jesus used on the cross. Telestai? Did I say that right? How's your Greek? Is your Greek okay? Did I say that correctly? What that word means, it means stamped, paid in full. It was to be the word that went on a receipt when you paid the debt and said that it was paid. So from the cross, Jesus said one of the most powerful business terms ever when He said it is finished, because that's the Greek word for it is finished. So the Bible is woven through business ideas and business concepts.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're almost finished here with this first segment already. We're going to want to come back and hear more about your testimony, maybe some advice that you would have given your younger self, your favorite scripture, and a few other things here too. So make sure that you stay tuned for that.
Yep, you got to come back for the next segment because Tim is on fire. Honest to goodness, the temperature just went up 15 degrees in the studio. I mean, I'm breaking out in a sweat. This guy has got it. He's going to bring it in the next segment. You got to stay tuned and come back because he is going to tell you about this fabulous book and some of the other great things he's doing all the way down there in Indianapolis, you know, and he decided to come back to Chicago and put up with the traffic up here. So, hey, listen, again, we want to thank our sponsors out there, all the donations we've been on. Go out and check out the website, faithmarketplace.com. We got all the podcasts for 5 years out there. We're going to be right back with the next segment.
This is Chicagoland's place to inspire, equip, and encourage Christian business leaders. Faith Marketplace Radio.
Welcome back. It's Jennifer Villarreal with my guest, Tim Porter. And we were just talking about the crisis of faith in the marketplace. But Tim, why don't you tell me more? Is there crisis maybe in the church?
Crisis of faith in the church?
Yeah.
How dare you ask that question?
I mean, I said that with kind of a question mark here. I don't know. Am I opening up something here?
It's entirely possible. You know, when I was a young kid, just a little whippersnapper growing up in the church, I was trying to figure out what was missing. I went to Sunday morning, went to Wednesday night, had a bunch of friends that did the same thing, went to a private Christian school, got the t-shirt, you know, the whole deal. But I couldn't figure out what was missing. And I eventually figured out that there was, seemed to be, maybe, a lot of talk and not always a lot of action. Now, maybe that was because there was lack of power. Maybe there was actually because there was fear. I'm not sure. But let me tell you something that I experienced that absolutely blew my mind right out of college. I've owned a business of some kind since 1991. I went to a business convention. This business convention, there were somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people in this arena at this business convention. Entire weekend, Sunday morning was a church service in this arena. At the end of the church service, there were probably about 1,500 people that came forward to accept Christ at the end of the service. And I am sitting there with my jaw open, tongue hanging out, wondering, okay, it's the same person that comes forward every week at my home church because they still haven't prayed through what they need to get through. But this business thing is all of a sudden seeing this power. So what? So I had to start asking myself, what does business have that the church doesn't? What are those two things? There's something missing there. There's a formula that has to be engaged.
You know, you mentioned something there, and you said lack of power. You said power again. Tell me more about that.
Either God is who He says He is, or He is not. There is no in-between. Either he actually is the creator of the universe or he isn't. And sometimes, especially Christians, we get so wrapped up in our Bible verses, quoting them because we got to memorize them perfectly or make sure we show up at church on time, that we forget about the power that goes along with that. In fact, I'm reminded of the verse in Timothy that says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, in the old King James. So the power that needs to exist in the church doesn't always seem to be there. But then the marketplace has this weird quasi-power to it that seems to get things done and make things happen. Mm-hmm. So what would happen if we took the power of God that we talk about at the church with the power that's in the marketplace, and we merged those two things together and actually started, I don't know, a revolution? what would take place? What would happen?
Well, so expand on that just a bit more. You know, how can we equip these leaders and the church? What does that look like?
So the first thing that needs to happen is that, and I'm just going to talk very straightforward and very frank for a second, and that is that most pastoral staff types are not real strong on the business front. They are fantastic shepherds. They're fantastic leaders. They're fantastic. They got hearts of gold, and I love them dearly. But a lot of them don't necessarily have the business expertise. On the flip side, a lot of the business owners that I know are really sharp and on the ball. But let me tell you something. Their hearts are a little calloused because they've been along in the business world so long. They need to start sharing notes. They need to start exchanging things. Ephesians 4, equip the saints. Part of equipping the saints is we need to specifically equip the saints in the marketplace. If the church equips the saints in the marketplace, I have a saying, and that is that if the church properly equips the saints in the marketplace, the church will never have to ask for money ever again.
That's powerful. That's powerful. I noticed there you mentioned Ephesians 4:12, I believe, right? So is that your favorite verse here that's in alignment with what we're talking about here?
It is one of my favorite verses. I mentioned Isaiah 58 earlier. Another favorite verse is Deuteronomy 8:18, where God clearly states out that he has given us the power to get wealth. It doesn't say he's going to make us wealthy, but it does say that he has given us the power to get wealth. And so he must have given us that power for some particular reason. So what is that? So what is that reason? I really want to know. I really want to dig into that. There's another verse that I love that just blows my mind. It says, little flock, it is your father's desire to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. What is that? Okay, wait a second. Little flock, meaning you're not all you think you are, but it's still your father's desire to give you the kingdom. Well, what is God handing to us that we're not picking up? Mm-hmm. What do we need to be going forward with in the marketplace that we're not doing? What if there's the power to get wealth, if he's handing us the kingdom, what are we missing?
Yeah. Yeah, are we going to start calling the marketplace Little Flock now? Should we do that?
If you want to. That's
Yeah, I think that's great. How do you dive into this a little bit more in your book? What can you share with us? Any tips or some things that we can find in there when we pick that up?
Sure can. The book is basically divided into four sections. The first section of the book talks all about what I call the separation, and that's this challenge that we have in the marketplace of what it looks like and why God loves business, and it really dives in. The second section really gives some practical approaches, what physical organization of a business ministry, for example, may look like, or some physical things that you can actually do, and some different ways of starting with some different ways of thinking. The third section of the book then goes into what I call kind of concepts of the soul, where it starts to get into wisdom, it starts to get into more of a thought process of, okay, let's change the way you think, let's pull some wisdom from God's word. And then the last section is a supernatural joint venture with God in your business. Now, those sections also happen to equate to separation, which is sin. And then the next section is the outer courts or the physical. Next section is the inner courts or the soul. And then the last section is the Holy of Holies or your spirit joint venture with God.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds pretty deep. It's needed, right? We need this right now. We need to speak boldly about this. I think
it is. We do.
And why would you say we need now is the time to do that?
Now is the time to do that because God is moving, and God is moving in the marketplace. There's no doubt that God is moving in the marketplace. Now, there are some people that have spoken about a King Cyrus prophecy and things that are going on right now in the marketplace, or right things that are going on in the United States, and that comes out of Isaiah 45. If you look at the rest of Isaiah 45, it starts to talk about the riches that come up from Egypt, and that basically what happens next in that prophecy is that there's this economic force that comes forward that God brings in. Well, that's the marketplace. There's this economic force in the marketplace. Isaiah 58, we're supposed to be restorers of the breach. We're supposed to be repairing things. The time is now because God's word says it's now, and the time is now because the Holy Spirit says it's now.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Well, let's go back to how you would encourage some of these marketplace leaders, business owners, pastors even. How do you encourage them? How do you keep them plugged in?
Well, the first thing I would always encourage them to do, like I said earlier, is just stay on your knees. Please make sure you stay on your knees, because it's all about letting God do his thing. There's one of the first things that I encourage people to do is to really, if you've got a challenge or you're really not sure which way things are going, there's this little simple concept that God deals with in his word called surrender. Mm. And if we can get ourselves out of the way long enough, if we can acknowledge that God has a solution, even at work, mm-hmm. if we can acknowledge that God has a solution, we need to jump in on that and see exactly what's going to take place. So let him do his thing.
Yeah, that's great. Let him do his thing for sure. All right, so what's one thing that most people don't really know about you but would think, wow, that's pretty cool?
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do enjoy stand-up paddleboarding. I do. I enjoy doing that. I really do. I love to get out on the water and
so do you stay standing up on there, or do you
I've never I've never fallen in the water in my life, ever. I've never fallen in the water in my
life. Ladies and gentlemen, he's blushing just a little bit.
But I tell you, the one of the most exciting things though was this whole concept of being ordained to be in the marketplace, because really my piece of paper means nothing. We're all ordained to be in the marketplace.
Yes.
And so I tell people that about myself, that I'm an ordained marketplace minister. And they're like, what? Well, I've got a piece of paper that just means I can marry you and bury you. But you are a minister in the marketplace, and you need to be a minister in the marketplace.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I think people can really get equipped here by tuning in, reading some more from this. Is there a way that they can get a sample or something about your book, or maybe just go get the book? How do they do that?
Just go to the website. Anything that's available will always be on the website. Go to godsbusinessrevolution.com. Again, godsbusinessrevolution.com. Of course, leave the comma out of, or the apostrophe out of God. So when you put in the web address, but godsbusinessrevolution.com, there, whatever's available will be there. Right now, what's available, even as I speak, and there's some more things coming even next week, is the two free chapters. Get the first two chapters free. Start reading the book now. There will be a order place to order the book on site. We've got the workbook coming out. The podcast is there, my personal podcast. And so there'll be plenty of things coming down the pipe.
Can we give our listeners maybe the free PDF for the workbook when that comes out?
Oh my gosh, really? You're going to put me on the spot like this. Are you really? You're going to do this.
I am.
That's, you know what? That's what we can do. What we'll do is on the contact page, there'll be a little box that says Faith Marketplace Radio. You check that box, say you bought the book, and I'll send it out to you.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Hey, that was fabulous, guys. I'll tell you, again, the studio is on fire here. Hopefully you got encouragement, inspiration out there, and some equipping from our guest, Tim Porter. He's going to be back later in the segment, but right now we're going to be concentrating on our next guest. His arms are really tired because he came all the way from Texas. You know, I don't know what a Colorado boy was doing down in Texas, but we're going to hear all about that on our ministry segment today. Again, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. I want you particularly to stay for the next couple segments, because we've got some lively things that are going on. There's going to be fireworks in the studio. We're going to be right back. Bob Lehrer, Faith Marketplace Radio.
This is Chicagoland's place to inspire, equip, and encourage Christian business leaders. Faith Marketplace Radio. Now, back to founding partner of the Samurai Business Group and Marketplace veteran, Bob Lambert.
Hey, we're back here. And again, as I said before, we got our special guest in studio today, Paul McGinnis, all the way from Texas. And Paul is a first half career was filled with a variety of roles in marketing, sales, and operations. So we got another Marketplace veteran here, folks. He worked with for a large nonprofit financial institution as well as Fortune 250 companies, where he led the marketing efforts in one of the fastest their fastest growing divisions. As he climbed the corporate ladder, God began tugging on his heart, saying he had more for him than success, wealth, and a corner office. This started the incredible journey for Paul, filled with wild leaps of faith, incredible lessons of humility, and a life-changing shift in his perspective. Paul heard about Halftime Institute through an alumnus and enrolled and began working with his coach. At first, this led to him becoming a certified halftime coach to help other marketplace leaders navigate their unique season of halftime successfully. But he knew God had more for him. A few months later, the opportunity came to join Halftime Institute team in full-time role. This role, plus his coaching, was the final piece of his halftime puzzle. He currently is serving as the COO of Halftime Institute. It is a master-certified halftime coach and one of their leading facilitators for their fellowship program. Paul and his wife, Mary Ann, have been married 27 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And have two grown kids, Drew and Janeka. Have you gotten grandkids yet?
2 months ago, we had our first grandchild.
Congratulations,
yeah, thank
buddy.
You.
Awesome. Hey, Paul, listen, just so the audience knows, you had quite a background. Did you grow up a Christian?
I did. I grew up in a Christian home. It was slightly dysfunctional in some ways, but overall it was a good Christian upbringing.
Okay. And so as you came through, I didn't suppose you got off the rails like some of our other guests have, you know, during a kind of a little crisis of faith, you know, through those college years.
Had a little bit of crisis of faith, yes.
So what, starting in your career and you were out there in the marketplace, you had some pretty big jobs.
Yeah, I started with Guidestone Financial, which is basically the financial arm for the Southern Baptist Convention. They do all the retirement insurance programs for anything with Baptist in its name. So I started out there, had 9 different positions in 10 years,
wow.
And then ran a Christian retreat center for a little while, a little jaunt there running your own company, and then started with a company in the food safety sector. And as soon as I came on their executive team, 6 months later, we were acquired by Ecolab, big chemical company based in St. Paul, Minnesota. So went from a small private company to a huge publicly held company and just rode that for a little while. Really enjoyed it. Great company. And so that's kind of my background prior to Halftime.
Yeah. So help me understand that. What really intrigued you about getting into Halftime?
You know, I think, you know, Tim mentioned it earlier. So many people have a crisis of calling. And so many people get to what we call this season of halftime where, you know, everything you've done or won or own seems to matter less. It's not that doesn't matter anymore, but you get to this point in, we'll call it quote unquote midlife, whatever that might mean, where it just matters less. And usually that's triggered by certain events. It might be divorce. It might be a bad health report. It might be the sale of your business or whatever. And they're just asking, what is next? And that's really for me. There was a series of events in my life that just triggered a lot of questions in my life. And one of them is, life is short. What am I doing with my life and what kind of impact am I making?
Yeah, and Bob Berg, you know, the author of the book, actually started Halftime, which you just lost your founder here a couple months ago. Yeah, and what a great life he had. But pretty much that's how he shaped this whole thing, right? Halftime, because he had a crisis in his family.
Exactly. He passed away 6 weeks ago, and he lost his son when his son was 24. And he was a very successful businessman in the marketplace, and he got to this time, and that was kind of the triggering event, which caused him to reflect. It's a perfect metaphor, halftime, just like the athletes, right? Of the halftime of a Bulls game or a Bears game is the athletes will go in, and their first reason is to rest. But their second reason is the coach uses it very efficiently to say, how do we play in the first half? What can we change? What adjustments can we make so that we can play better in the second half? And so that's really what Bob wrote the book Halftime in 1995 to explain this transition in midlife that many, many people go through.
Yeah, and I read all three of his books. And in Finishing Well, I probably knew a half a dozen guys that were in there, which is great to see how these folks became equipped and encouraged through the whole process. Well, why don't you tell the listeners, what is Halftime in the Institute, and what can somebody expect with this whole thing?
Yeah, so when he started, he wrote the book, and he started speaking on it, everybody wanted to know a little bit more. And so he finally said, I got to start an organization. Started the Halftime Institute in 1998. And it just started as a two-day workshop. And then as we learned, we now have a full year-long program of filled with coaching. So we have executive coaches all over the U.S., as well as we put you in a cohort of successful high-capacity leaders, Christian leaders, that are all in the season of halftime, so that you can relate on a success level, but you can also relate due to the unique season of life you have. And then you go through some really creative content for a year that helps you navigate this really emotional, chaotic, exciting. It's kind of, I experienced every emotion, and our clients do, in this season of life.
What did that do for you when you went through this? Because obviously you got on fire for this thing. So what did that do for you?
You know, for me, I felt like I had poured a 1,000-piece puzzle on the table. And I don't know if you guys have ever done that, but you do it and you're just like, what have I done? Do I really have enough time to do this puzzle? Is my table big enough? There's all these questions, you know. And I felt like I was looking at a piece at a time, just going, I wonder where this fits into my life. Well, you don't work a puzzle like that. And so halftime gave me a framework of starting with the edges and the corners, putting the rest in the box, and beginning to frame up, what is God calling to me next, for me to do next? What is my core, at my core, how am I uniquely designed? What are my gifts? What am I passionate about, which is a real struggle for me? And then you can begin figuring out what that looks like next. And that's really what it helped me, is I needed a framework to navigate through this, because many of the clients that we work with, they're incredibly smart business people. They've solved complex problems all their life. But when they get to this season of life and it's a complex problem about what's going on in their heart, they tend to struggle.
Yeah, you mentioned something about passion, you know, that was a struggle for you.
Mm-hmm.
Help me understand that. Why was that a struggle for you?
You know, I think I knew fairly well when I went through the program what I was good at and what I wasn't good at. You know, I've had so many performance appraisals and successes and failures and everything. But I remember my coach, when he said, hey, we're going to work on really who you are. And I kind of rolled my eyes. It was over the phone, so he couldn't see me. And he said a quote to me by Howard Thurman that stuck with me. And Howard Thurman said, don't go find out what the world needs and go do that. Find out what makes you come alive and go do that, because what the world needs is more men and women that are fully alive. And I had no idea what I was passionate about. And so that's what we worked on, because if you infuse strength and experience with what you're passionate about, coupled with what God is calling you to do, you're going to be very successful and very impactful.
Wow. That sounds like our previous guest here, Tim, was pretty passionate, wasn't he? Huh?
It does.
He hasn't even been through halftime. You know, what lights you up with this work that you're doing now? What really excites you?
Moving people from point A to point B. When people come to us, they're stuck. And it's very common. I believe everybody goes through a season of halftime, not just high-capacity leaders, but everybody. And so just seeing people that come, I think it's the coach's heart in me, is somebody that's stuck, that has incredible potential, but they're stuck. So to be able to walk them through a process and just listen to their heart, and it's a head and a heart journey, and be able to come alongside them and really minister to them during this time so that they can navigate it successfully. So they realize this is a prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a midlife crisis. This is something God is calling you to do.
Give us a story about one of these folks that have gone through it, and then what happened on the outside of that, what the outcome was.
Yeah, one of my clients was a partner at a law firm in Calgary, and he was I wouldn't say typical, but this is common, is somebody that he worked to get partner, which was the goal, and worked really hard, and on the way sacrificed his family and the relationship with his kids, gets to this midlife, which was triggered by a divorce. And he just knew that God wasn't going to call him to be a lawyer, because like that was an evil thing. And maybe we can think sometimes that is an evil thing. But for the most part, he was like, we went through our coaching, and one day he called me and he said, you know what? I'm a really good lawyer, and God has given me this platform for a reason. And so he said, okay, so what does that mean? And so he answered two questions. He said, one is, how much is enough? He was making, you know, a certain amount of money. He said, but I only need this amount of money. And so he said, so what I want to do is every billable hour over that amount, I want to give it to a young lawyer that just joined the firm with the requirement that I get to mentor them for a year.
Mm.
Well, they jumped on that because they're getting a mentor with a partner. And so he would mentor them, started out on law, then it moved into personal life and marriage and parenting, because he didn't want to have them make the same mistakes he did.
Wow.
So God kept him right where he was. He used the platform to be Christ right there in the marketplace, and is making a tremendous impact.
Yeah, because, you know, people, especially business people, think ministry is going off to a foreign mission, you know, where
yep.
you got to be in the church serving and all that kind of thing. So that was a wonderful gift that he was given to have that awakening that you stay where I planted you.
Yeah.
You know, you got more work to do here. And by the way, what I made you go through is something now that you can help somebody else. That's a wonderful story.
The majority of our clients stay right where they are. They just have a mindset and a paradigm shift that really Tim talked about as well, saying, wait a minute, I've been given this platform, but I'm also a steward of what God has given me. So what's the paradigm shift can I have to impact the kingdom right where I am?
How long is the program, Paul?
It's 1 year.
1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that year look like?
We have two programs. One is just one-on-one coaching. You just want to be coached through the process. It's just one-on-one. And then we have our premier program, which is the Fellows Program, where it's a cohort. You have four events face-to-face throughout the year, gathered from all over the United States. And then they get an executive coach as well throughout the year. And then they get on the phone every month that there's not an event to talk through it, to celebrate, to commiserate, to just go through it together.
Yeah. And how many graduates have you had so far?
Do you know we're right about 2,000.
2,000.
Uh-huh.
So how is somebody going to, they're hearing this broadcast now, in the Chicagoland area, we have several folks that are on board, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, quite a few alumni here.
So who would they get in contact with?
Oh, man. I don't know if I can tell everybody. I know you've had a few of our alumni on your show. Scott Boyer.
Yep.
Scott and Ruth Boyer. Bob Mazakowski, I think, was on your
Bob's show.
Just saw both of them, actually. Bob came to the Bob Buford Celebration of Life Service last week, so I got to see him. So that's two people that I know I saw on your show list that experienced.
Well, I know there's some up in my hood, too. But how do they get a hold of you, real quick?
Halftime.org is the absolute best way. Just go to the website, look us up, and you can contact me there.
Paul McGinnis, my special guest. And, boy, his arms are tired. He flew all the way in from Texas, you know. Hey, listen, we're going to be back with this next segment where we're going to have Paul and Tim and Jennifer coming in to read a great piece of scripture and some inspiration day and then get some input from these guys. But I want you to stay tuned for that. And again, Bob Lambert, Faith Marketplace Radio, every Saturday, noon to 1 o'clock here on AM 1160. We're going to be right back.
This is Chicagoland's place to inspire, equip, and encourage Christian business leaders. Faith Marketplace Radio.
Hey, it's Jennifer Villarreal here. Welcome back. All right, so today's question is going to come from the book Proverbs for Business. And the question is, do you manage your time well each day at work? So the thought is this. On the job, we face a flood of pressures, tasks, and responsibilities every day. If we don't manage our priorities and work on first things first, we'll end up drowning in tasks that are urgent, but not necessarily important. Before you start each day, make a list of key tasks to be accomplished. Review the list and determine if you have time to accomplish everything. Set priorities on your task and do the most important ones first. Stay focused. Review your list throughout the day and cross off each item when completed. Realize that interruptions will happen, so schedule time to answer phone calls and respond to email messages, but don't let those tasks steal your best time. Develop strategies for minimizing interruptions and distractions and stick to your key task and your key work will get done. Tim, Paul, what are your thoughts on this?
You're deferring to me?
Go ahead.
Awesome. The biggest thing that I think we need to remember is simply this, is that how do I know what's important and how do I know what's not important? Because, you know, we've seen the grid about, you know, the 4 years in the grid, you know, which is the most important and the urgent and comparing those things. But how do I know? And so I encourage everybody to ask the person who knows, and that's God. Just say, hey, God, here's the deal. Here's what you've got. Here's what you've got for me today, I believe. Is this right? Is this correct? Is this what you have for me? Let me know. But my day belongs to you. My schedule belongs to you. So you guide my day and you lead me. Now, if I know God's in charge of my schedule and I get stuck on the Dan Ryan, I feel a lot better about getting stuck on the Dan Ryan.
So we want to pray over our schedule. Is that what you're saying, Tim?
It's a really good idea.
If you haven't got a common theme, it's prayer, right?
Yeah.
You know, if we just ask God, put in my path who you want to put in my path. Do we leave time in our day for God encounters?
Mm-hmm.
Do we leave time in our day for God to show up, to God to show up and God to have somebody else show up that needs us or maybe we need them?
That's a great reminder, Tim. I used to do that when I first started my business and I needed clients and then I would pray that. But, you know, are we doing that consistently as we're in business? So that's a great reminder. Paul, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the key thing, what Tim just said, is leaving time in our calendars. We're not typically good at that, especially type A achievers, high-capacity leaders. And I remember a story. I wasn't there for this, but John Ortberg and Dallas Willard and Eugene Peterson were doing a workshop on spiritual disciplines. And at the very end, this sounds like something I would ask if I was there. They said, all right, that's all great after 8 hours. What's the one thing I need to do to grow spiritually? And they huddled up on stage for like 4 minutes. It was all kind of an awkward silence. And when Dallas Willard turned around, he said, ruthlessly eradicate hurry from your life.
Mm.
And that means a lot when those three incredible theologians think about what's the number one thing to grow in spiritually is eradicate hurry. And to me, if you teach us to number our days, if we truly understand the mindset of numbering our days, prioritization is going to come naturally because we know our time is short.
Yes, that comes from Psalm 90:12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Love that. And I think I picked up something there, too, with adding some white space on our calendar,
yeah,
right, for these encounters that can come along, as Tim mentioned earlier. That's really great. What else? Any other things? You know, he mentions here about realize that interruptions will happen. So how do we minimize these distractions and these interruptions?
I don't know about, I haven't found, I mean, there are ways to minimize, but many times life just happens, mm-hmm, and distractions are part of it. My wife and I try to live by this, and it's hard, but we mentally, I learned when I did a lot of financial counseling, you really need to live on 80 or 85% of what you make, right? We've all heard that for years. We never apply that to our time. Mm. And so we apply it to our time. We try to fill our calendars to 80, 85% where we have room when people come across our path and you don't feel so, there's no way I'm going to get to this. I got so much to do. So if you can actually do that same financial principle and apply it to your calendar, you're going to have white space. And if you don't have anything to do, you actually get to rest and
yes,
you actually get to refresh and you actually get to rejuvenate so that you can minister to the people that God brings into your path.
Well, Bob knows that I was forced to do that because I had some health challenges over the past couple of years and I had to rest and I fought it and fought it and I didn't want to take a nap. And then finally, somebody told me, do you know how many people would love to take a nap in the middle of the day out on the hammock to top it off?
Yeah.
So yes, to rest so we can also be renewed. Nude as well and go into God's word. Tim, anything else on that?
You know, I'm reminded of one of the most common complaints I hear about church. And that complaint is that church is so jam-packed with a program that we forget to leave time for God to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And our days are like that. We do that at church because that's how we live our lives. They're just so jam-packed that we forget to leave time for God to show up. God works in the margins. Because God works where you leave off, and you have to leave space for him to work.
Mm-hmm.
So the bigger margin that you leave for him to work, the more work that he can do. I love to say, if you expect God to show up and show out, if you let God show up and show out, God will show up and show out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good point there. And I think, you know, a lot of times we schedule around our business instead of making God the priority, or our families, ourselves, taking care of ourselves as well. So I would recommend that people schedule that first on their calendar, then go in and schedule times of when they can meet with a client or whatnot. The other thing is I see a lot of people writing tons of lists, tons of items to work on. And I say, simplify this. God is not complex, right? He doesn't want us to be so complicated every day and busy and exhausted like this. And so what are those 1 to 3 things that we can work on for that particular day? Because if we can move through that, then we can move on to the next thing, right? Instead of trying to work on 10 different things at 10 different times and then taking 10 months to complete that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just silliness.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that the enemy comes in to distract us, to move us away, because we're here to make kingdom impact. And yes, in the marketplace as well. Do you guys agree with me on this?
Yeah, I believe the enemy's biggest tactic, in my opinion, is busyness, because he knows he's lost as believers, our souls for eternity. So as long as he can make us as ineffective as he can while we're here, then he's won. And I remember the Screwtape Letters with C.S. Lewis when he's given his advice to his young nephew, and he says, a deck of cards is just as good as murder as long as it takes them away from the light. And I think busyness and our schedule and our task is that deck of cards for us. And I think Satan just looks back and says, gotcha.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That famous song that was written back in the late 60s, early 70s, I believe it goes, and they will know we are Christians by our busy schedules. No, they will know we are Christians by our love. We have to take time to love. We have to take time. If you want to be a successful boss, take time to love on your employees. Really do. Obviously take time to love on your family. That goes without saying. Take time to love on your neighbors, literally the person next door. If we are not motivated out of love, we're not accomplishing anything. We all know the 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter.
Yeah.
And that's really what we're about.
Yeah. So, you know what? Set those priorities on your task and do the most important ones first. And remember, for kingdom impact first. That's the thing here.
All right. Wow. I'll tell you, I can't believe we're out of time. This thing could go on for another hour because I'm excited. And listen, I hope you got some encouragement out there today, some inspiration, some equipping from two great guests that we had on today, Tim Porter and Paul McGinnis. Get out there and check them out online. You got the information. We gave it to you earlier. I just want to encourage you all to really take some of this to heart today, because we had some great revelation today in this studio about some of these things that are actual practical things that you can take and put into your workday and out there in the Lord. And I think the big theme was prayer. Let's pray on this stuff. Let's take some prayer breaks. Maybe that's how we can put some margin in our time. Bob Lambert, Faith Marketplace Radio, every Saturday, noon to 1 o'clock. Come out and check us out. Also, go out and see our podcast. We'll be right back next Saturday.
Thanks for joining us for Faith Marketplace Radio, here to inspire, equip, and encourage Chicagoland's Christian business community. Faith Marketplace is on every Saturday at noon, right here on AM 1160, Hope for Your Life. Listen to past shows anytime online at faithmarketplace.com.